Hello, my name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm having some victory over being abusive and learning how to be more content in life. If you remember my last teaching, my trusty Kindle was not so trusty. It actually, for the first time ever, froze and refused to turn on. So I had a stern talking to it, and it's obedient. It's working tonight. So just want to let you know I'm not going to be winging it tonight. So we have a lesson tonight on relapse. And, you know, the first thing I think of when I hear the word relapse are just famous people, celebrities in the news. You know, these are famous people. These are like musicians, artists, athletes, politicians, people in authority that have some attention and some outstanding features, and we look to them kind of like our heroes. And sometimes they're human and they get addicted and they have to go into rehab. And most of us root for our heroes going to rehab because we know rehab is going to be good for them. And if they come out and they're just clean about it and they admit what they've done, we forgive them and they can go on with their careers. I'm an avid cyclist, and in the United States, we have this famous cyclist, Lance Armstrong. Anybody know Lance Armstrong? So he won 7 Tour de Frances, which is this huge 21-day insane race, but he was doping. And people would ask him about doping, and he would say, "I've never failed a drug test. I've never failed a drug test." So he was telling the truth. I've never failed a drug test because I'm smarter than the drugs, but I am doping. And he finally came clean, but his apology was not really accepted because he didn't have any sorrow for his bad judgment. So don't be like Lance Armstrong. Ride your bike drug-free, and if you have an issue, just go to a safe place like a recovery meeting and share it. Because in recovery, we say, you're only as sick as your secrets. So reveal them in a safe place, and this is a safe place to reveal. And you're not out of place. I mean, I've relapsed. I came here because I got caught with pornography on my computer in 2003. It was very embarrassing, but for decades, I hid my addiction to pornography and acting out sexually. And then my children saw these images, and I had to admit to my wife, to my kids, to another family in the church, to my pastor, that I had this secret double life. And it was a horrible moment to come clean, but it was the start of a new chapter in my life. And I didn't stay stuck, but you know, my first try, my second try, my third try, it took many tries to get the strength to change. So if you're here and you've relapsed, just know that the person next to you probably has relapsed too. So God's not done with you. Don't give up. I mean, you're here, so you're taking a positive step to avoid relapse. And that's what the whole lesson is about tonight, is how to avoid relapse so that we don't go back to our old habits and our old ways of coping. I think we have a principle and a step to read. Let's read this out loud together. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So these are really truthful words that we say every week or every month in our recovery. And we say them because the truth has to sink in like deep ruts in us to replace those old ruts, that old faulty thinking that's in our default thinking. So these are good things to repeat and remember. Another issue I had relapse in was playing online games. I'm a competitive person, And I like to play backgammon, because backgammon has some luck with the dice and then some statistical thinking about, you know, what are the average odds of getting a roll. And so for me, you know, a normal person would just play one or two games and be done. But if you win a game, an online backgammon, you get points. And if you get more points, you go to a new category and you get bragging rights. And so I'd play for hours a day. But I stopped playing for about 4 years. But then in December, I found out that my car has an entertainment center and there's backgammon in the car. And in the car, you can play beginner, intermediate, or advanced. And so I thought, I'm going to show this Tesla what's what. I'm going to play advanced. I'm just going to play a couple games just to put it in its place. Oh, it was hard. I was on there for 4 hours, and it was past midnight. And I was going, I've just relapsed. I've just fallen into the rabbit hole. And I'm playing against not even a person. I'm playing against my car. My car's beating me, and it's liking it. So, you know, I came to recovery that week, and I took a blue chip. And now it's been, 176 days since I've been playing online backgammon. So if you're like me, you probably have several areas in your life where you've got a pattern or a habit that is a crazy cycle. You know it's not good for you, and you want to change it, and with your own efforts, you haven't been able to change it. So this is a place to come to admit that, to be open about it, and to start to count how many days you can go free from that or sober from that, and to find out what the antidote is to these things. Okay, so for the lesson on relapse, it's going to be an acrostic. You should have a handout there. And I will give out extra points to anybody that gets every fill in the blank correct. So at the end of the E-R-E-L-A-P-S-E-E, if you got them all right, just stand up like bingo and say, relapse, and I'll give you a high five and a gold star, and your day will be good. So the first fill in the blank is R, for reserve a daily quiet time. Reserve a daily quiet time. So in my life, my quiet time is at breakfast. So I'm in my house. I'm married to an introvert, so it is quiet. And while eating breakfast, I open up my Bible and I read a passage from the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament. And just going through this routine, I check off the verses, and in 1 year I get through the Bible. And I'm just quieting myself and preparing myself for the day, trying to read the truth from other people, from kings to slaves to servants to saviors. Just trying to glean, how does this truth impact my life? How should I be acting differently today in my life? And so I have to get quiet. I have to turn off my phone. Like, someone's got a pretty good volume on their phone there. One more time and the phone's mine. Isn't that what they say in school? If it blinks again, it's mine. I'd have a lot of phones. Oh, I don't know about that. So find a time where you don't have distractions. Morning works good for me. You can find any time you want to in your day, but at least once a day, get quiet and get into God's Word and ask yourself, what should I be doing differently now that I've read this truth? And try to recall the truth. Try to meditate in the truth. You know, you could even listen to the Bible in audio format. So if you have a lot of time in your car and you can't read because you can't take your eyes off the road, you could have a Bible on audio. You could have it being read to you. So that would be another way to get the Word into you. There's a Bible verse here, Mark 14:38. Let's see if we have that. Let's read this one together. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 14:38. So all of us are tempted. So I have temptations every day, but I have a choice. Do I follow my natural inclination to be selfish and go by the flesh, or do I live by the Spirit? So I always have a choice. And God says He'll never let a temptation too great that we don't have a way out of it. Okay? So you can just say, help God, I'm being tempted. Give me a way out of this. And He'll be faithful to give you a way out. If you've got an accountability partner, you can text them, you can phone them. If you've got a sponsor, you can get on the phone and talk to that person if you're in need and being tempted and want to talk to somebody about it. But you're not alone. You know, the enemy wants to get us isolated and relying upon our own strength and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, which doesn't work very long. But if we can count on each other and encourage each other, we can be equipped and we can overcome these temptations. So temptations are going to come our way. That just means you're human. But we don't have to fall into our trap of falling for the temptation. The next fill in the blank is E for evaluate yourself. Evaluate yourself. So in recovery, we always read Lamentations 3:40, you know, asking God to examine me and, you know, examine my ways and call on the name of the Lord. So when you examine yourself, you can examine yourself physically. What am I doing to my body? What am I doing to my emotions? What am I doing to my relationships? What about my spiritual life? There's a lot of different categories that you can evaluate yourself on. And 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson on daily inventory. And that's a great thing to do to evaluate yourself, is to do this inventory. If you've ever done a step study, they ask you to do 30 days of an inventory. I did a step study the last time, and I've just kept going and doing that journaling. So I do it every day at nighttime before I go to sleep, is I fill out my journal and evaluate, what did I do with myself today? What were the positive things in my life today? What were the negative things? What am I feeling? What emotions am I having? Did I offend somebody? Do I need to offer amends to somebody? Do I need to give forgiveness to somebody? You know, what have I done with my time today? So these are really helpful things that you can do when you're evaluating yourself. The next fill in the blank, L, listen to Jesus. So when we're listening to advice, you know, we can listen to people on TV, people on the radio, people on the internet, people in discussion forums, people on YouTube, people on TikTok, our neighbors, our cycling buddies, you know. You can get advice anywhere, or you can get advice from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, if you're reading the Bible and you have a relationship with Jesus, you can pray to him, you can ask him things, you can wait for answers from him on which way you should go in your life. What are the do's and don'ts? What are the boundaries in your life? Because this is a spiritual program, Celebrate Recovery, and our higher power is Jesus. So we have to be listening to him. We have to know what words he actually spoke in the Bible and just be familiar with what he says. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians. Let's read this one in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test everything that is said to be sure it is true, and if it is, then accept it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So there was a time when I was separated from my wife and family with a restraining order. So it was a living hell for me. You know, the people I loved the most, I was separated from, you know, by law for a year. And I had advice like, well, just call it quits and start over. But when I read the Bible, it said, you know, cherish the wife of your youth. You know, so the Bible told me to love those. Well, I'd harmed the ones that I loved, and so I had to figure out how to follow the step study and how to make amends. But I followed the advice of God and stuck with it, even though it was hard. And with God's help, we're going to make it to year 44 on July 24th, if I remember correctly. So test what people are telling you and see if it's in the Word and see if it's true. And if you're unsure, you can ask a pastor or someone in authority or a leader, or if you've got a sponsor is a great person to ask questions about who to listen to in terms of advice. The A letter for our acrostic is alone and quiet time. Alone and quiet time. So another thing I do to get quiet is I turn off the volume on my cell phone. I'm normally on social media only 12 to 14 hours a day. And so about every 2 or 3 seconds, somebody wants to say, hello, Daniel, or they want to argue with me or something. And so it annoys people. And so I tend to turn it off and get alone and get quiet. So you might have noises and things that are bleeping at you. So get quiet with God, get alone with God, have your quiet time, have a time of prayer. There's even a Bible verse that you can read here from Psalm 46. Let's read this one together. Do we have the psalm? There we go. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. So we have a great person on our side, a great entity on our side who wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to stay unchanged and stay in our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. He wants renewal for us. So we have to agree that renewal is possible, and we just have to yield to his will while we're listening to him. The next letter in our acrostic is P. P for plug into God's power through prayer. Plug into God's power through prayer. So prayer is us talking to God. I love the Psalms. So many of the Psalms are prayers. And David and Solomon are just going, God, I'm hurting. Are you there? Can you see what other people are saying to me? Can you see what wars are starting around me? Can you see all the chaos in my life and the deceit in my life? Help me. I need you. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're the one that has put me here. You're the one that has given me everything. So he lays out all of his grievances and his ailments, and then he praises God even before he sees an answer from God. So God is faithful, so call on him in your time of prayer. And if you don't know how to pray, just start reading the Psalms. Psalms give us a whole bunch of ideas, or most of the songs we sing in worship can also be used as prayers. So if you're not a great prayer, just pick up worship songs and sing the worship songs that mean something to you, and God will honor that in your life. There's a verse in Philippians 4:6 about worry. Let's read this one together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Philippians 4:6. That's great advice. That is great advice. You know, when I first came into recovery, I was very critical of the program and the steps. You know, being scientific, I thought, why do I need 12 steps? I'm an advanced person. I'll do it in 3 steps, or I'll do it in 2 steps, or I'll do it by next Tuesday and I'll be fixed. Well, recovery isn't quite like applying a math formula. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different journey than that. So accept these words of truth. The more you accept them and follow them, the faster you'll be changed. The letter S in our acrostic is slow down long enough to hear God's answer. Slow down long enough to hear God's answer. Job has something to say about this in Job 33. Let's read this one together. Listen to me. Keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom. Job 33:33. So sometimes in my prayer, I give God 3 options for my life. You know, good, better, best options. And what I've learned is, God, just reveal to me what your will is. I just want your will, and my options are probably just the result of my own thinking. So why should I tell you what my options are? I'll just ask for your best for me. So sometimes you can be very specific in asking for something. That's okay. But I also add as a caveat, you know, if it be your will, let this happen. Because even Jesus, you know, when the cross was put before him, he said, well, God, if you could remove this cup, that would be great. but just your will be done, not my will be done. So God's not in a hurry, so don't press him for an answer with a certain timeline. But we can certainly pour out your heart before him, and he'll never tire of listening to you. He'll never tire of listening to what you want changed in your life, if you're being harmed in your life, or if you're harming others and you don't know how to stop. Just give it to him on a daily basis and be transparent about it and be open to the changes he wants to make to you. And you might hear something in the teaching, you might hear something in small group, you might hear something in a sermon that is a real truth that hits to you. So grab onto that and don't let go of it. There's an E in the acrostic. E is for enjoy your growth. Enjoy your growth. And let's read the verse that goes with enjoy your growth in Thessalonians. Be joyful always. Pray at all times. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life, in union with Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Somebody got it? All right. That's an eager person. Woke me up right away. On the growth part, I might not always be a good judge of my character changing, but you know who is a good judge are people that are around me, like my small group, like my sponsor. They can see an event that used to trigger me one way, and now that event doesn't trigger me any longer. So you can get encouragement from people in your small group and from your sponsor to say, hey, you responded differently to life this week than you did last week. There's change happening in your life. So we're all going to be changing, and it's going to come at different speeds. So don't compare yourself and the change in yourself versus somebody else. I mean, I was an alcoholic for 3 years, and I tried many weekends to stop, and I couldn't stop. Unfortunately, my solution was to switch one addiction with another. So I switched alcoholism with workaholism, and the world said, good for you, you know, work 7 days a week. I found out since then that that's also a problem. But with God's help, you can have growth spurts. And we encourage growth. In our small group, at the end of each meeting, we have coins for 1 day, 1 month, all the way up to 11 months. So whatever your issue is, put it on a calendar, the date. So if it's an addiction issue, you know the last time you used. If it's an anger issue, you know it's the last time you swore or hit somebody. If it's online gaming, you know the last game you played. If it's something like codependence or you've been harmed by another person, it's just when did you start recovery? So you don't have a sobriety date, but you have a date that you started recovery. Put it in the calendar and mark your progress, and take a coin or a chip to mark your progress. That's part of your journey, is to grow and to change and to be doing life differently. So there's been a lot of information tonight, and just real quick summary, you know, with relapse, the R-E-L-A-P-S-E, R, reserve your daily quiet time. So have that quiet time. You can start anytime you want. It can be any time of the day you want. Evaluate yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, relationships, spiritually. Do that daily journal thing. Listen to Jesus. You know, in your prayers, maybe in your journal, you have a prayer request and you have answered prayer. Get alone each day and have a quiet time to do your praying and your contemplating and your evaluating. So we're going to plug into God's power using prayer. It is powerful. We are going to slow down long enough to wait for God's answers, hear his answers. And we're going to enjoy our growth, because recovery is all about progress and not perfection. So thank you for listening to me tonight. And be well and go in God's peace in small group.